Hey there.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Ready for another San Bernardino Real Talk session. We have a lot to cover today.
Go team SB Corruption Busters.
Right? So yeah, everyone was asking about our t-shirts. And just if you are interested in purchasing a t-shirt, we will have some available in the future. So just send us a message. You're interested and what size you need, and we'll definitely look into getting those shirts out.
Yay.
So, Treasure, you've been busy holding John Valdivia's accountable. I don't know how you call him that, by the way. It's like so funny because like now, like sometimes people will say, "Did you see what Treasure posted about John Valdivia?" It's like they don't even call him by his real name anymore.
In
So
my
that's good.
auto text now, like whenever I go to type Valdivia, it says Valdivia, so my phone knows too.
It's classic. So that's okay. So let's backtrack to earlier in the week where you posted, and then we, of course, all reposted information about a proceeding from the actual litigation that's happening between Pepe's Towing and the city. And within that, there was a declaration from Don Smith. So do you want to talk a little bit about what that is?
Yes, so in 2018, throughout John's campaign, the now legislative field rep, Don Smith, was a campaign staffer for John. And he used him to, put out information, knock on doors, and apparently also attend midnight meetings with tow company drivers and owners. And what Don Smith came out and said, hey, in late October, early November, I went with John to Denny's at 1 o'clock in the morning and I met with a tow company operator who handed him a large amount of cash and said, hey, thank you from all of us tow company owners for, supporting us. And it's never been declared on John's 460s. And this has been an area of contention for Pepe's Towing, who has sued the city, saying that he's been denied a city contract because of what he believes is false political dealings amongst our elected officials. And going back through the record, I noticed that John abstained from a vote in, I want to say March of or August. I know it sounds really off, but it's one of those 2 months where they voted to see if they would take another operator within the city. And he was the only person to abstain from that vote. Everybody else voted yes.
Really?
Yes. So I look at that and I say, was he given extra money for, even though he couldn't persuade the council, he still stayed in line with what he was asked to do.
So just to clarify for anyone who's listening, that whenever you get a let's talk about the FPPC rules. And the FPPC is the Fair Political Practices for Campaigns. And they are the agency within the state of California that authorize campaign contributions and spending, and they monitor all of that. And it is not legal for any person who is running for office to accept cash over the amount of $99. And so anything over that amount would be illegal to even do. And secondly, anything that you do receive, either cash, check, or credit card through a contribution site, is all reportable as well. You have to report the person that gave you the money, and you have to report the amount of money that you received. Now, having said that, looking through his FPPC forms that he's required to fill out and submit to the state and city, we could not find anything from Danny Alcarez, which means that it went unreported. And it's as Treasurer has stated, and how we're talking about right now, that is illegal. You have to report every single penny that you are given regardless of whether it's cash or some in-kind donation, and that is something that was done for your campaign. For example, if I was to provide a person who is running for office free social media publishing, or free, you know, if I gave them, if I developed a website for them, that would still be reportable, and you still have to put a price tag on everything that you do for a candidate, and that's how it's reported. So, for example, you could say that I paid $500 in kind, where I didn't actually get money, but I gave time and services, and that is still reportable. So that's the kind of thing when we talk about not reporting that we're talking about in the case of John Valdivias and other elected officials that have to report the items on their forms. So just to clarify, that's what that meant. So it doesn't appear that he has reported anything from Danny Alcaraz.
Right. And John is not this first time, never ran before person. He's a seasoned politician who has actually run through treasurers.
Yes, that's true.
They, you know, in the most recent one, walked away from his campaign because very unsure and questionable campaign contributions from outside developers. So this isn't and not only that, like it isn't something that people aren't aware of, nor is it something that people don't talk about. You know, a lot of people need to realize that this stuff is not secretive. The reports from his own camps and people who have dealings with John all share the same concerns or stories.
Yeah. So that's the thing. And in talking about, like, for example, John supports a lot of other council members that are currently on the council, and he does so with his campaign funds. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of things that could be in play in doing that. One, you have to be very careful that you are not receiving funds, like you, John, are not receiving funds to give to others, and then because it could be money laundering at some point if the money was intended for another purpose. So there are several dynamics that could be in play, but typically a person can support any candidate with their campaign money, but it has to be reported by both ends. And it has to be traced from, you know, somewhere and someone. And I'm not sure if everyone that John supports has been reporting everything. And we have yet to see how, for example, the signs and of the counter protesters recently were paid for, and, you know, who paid for them, and from what campaign or from what personal place did that come from. So these are things that we can look for in the reports. So I think it's important for people to, they are available for public consumption because it's all public information. That's how we get the information. So I think it's important for people to look at that. There are currently candidates running still to November, and we've got to pay attention to what they're doing, what kind of votes they're taking, what money are they taking, and really hold them accountable and know what we are voting for in November.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is, I know one of the questions people had about, like, the Don Smith declaration, which one was, how come it wasn't stamped by the courts? Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you go, I don't know if you guys know this or if you ever, you know, submitted documents to a court, your original gets filed and your copies are not stamped.
So yeah.
Make sure I'm right on this, Leticia.
You do get, so what happens is, there's three copies that you take to the clerk's office when you file an opposition, or this was an opposition to a summary judgment. So someone made a motion to dismiss this altogether. And then this was an opposition to that. And here's why, because these are the facts. And so this opposition is to be heard on March 24th. And there was some confusion about why the trial date is different than the summary judgment date. Anyone who's been through like long litigation knows it literally takes years and years and sometimes back and forth to the court several times over these kinds of summary judgment requests and you know, oppositions. And then the judge has to hear it and say yes or no. And then that's during the entire litigation. So it's like a separate issue within the issue. And so when someone files, you take the three copies to the clerk. One copy is for the court. They, of course, get the stamp and they keep that. And they give you one stamped copy back and they give you the copy to serve back. Okay. So the copy mm-hmm. that goes in the original file, like if I'm filing, then I get the copy back with the stamp and I keep that in my file. I keep the original. And then I have what's left is not stamped. It's the copy. It's for service. That's what you do. That's what you use to serve the person who is on the complaint. So apparently what was received was what was a copy of what was served to the complainant.
And one thing I really want to say to the residents and even to myself sometimes is, you know, we're not to the point where we bring stuff out. Like, I think sometimes people want to play detective or lawyer online. And the purpose of putting out the information is for people to deduce their own conclusions from it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I thought it was really funny, you know, because right away Valdivia's camp, and this is kind of how you know things are extremely authentic, because as soon as they come out with some crazy response, you know that they're scared. Like, remember when Andrea's claim came through the city and I posted it and everybody was, John was on a plane to China and he was really shocked.
One of the first things that, you know, people send treasured stuff all the time. Like, people send us stuff. They send us tips. They send us information. They send us, go look at this, go look at that. Like, you know, people want us to expose this stuff. They don't want their name on it, but they want it exposed.
Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, we definitely verify where it comes from and we know it's original. But one thing I don't do, like, people, how come there's no Denny's on hospitality? And I'm like, look, dude, my own theories are my own. I think he meant Highland. But the guy doesn't live in San Bernardino, one. But the other thing is, it's not for us to justify the information that other people are putting. Like, I wasn't at a meeting with John at 1 a.m. This person is saying that they are. And I think it's just read it and hold on to it, because later on, like, these are the thing is, it's a declaration. And I think people really forget that lawyers just don't take people's words for stuff. You know, like, I don't know how many lawyers are like, yeah, I'll totally defend you. You know, you're telling me this, do you have any proof? No. Oh, you got a case. So I really think people need to understand that, you know, these are professional litigators and firms that are backing up the information mm-hmm. that people are giving them in order to file. Because it takes, I believe, a lot to stop when someone's about ready to dismiss your case and you're saying, hey, wait, but there's new evidence and here's it all. Like, here's everything.
Yeah, exactly.
So I know we have a very big cancel culture and we have a, you know, like, if it's online, it's true unless you don't like it. So I just want people to be really just take the information in.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything with it. It's not for us to litigate, to argue, to make determinations on. But I've even heard from council members, they're like, well, you know, this is all hearsay. And I'm like, no. Like, but I don't understand why you guys aren't asking for the evidence.
Yeah. So the thing about the Denny's, I mean, it's pretty obvious to me, at least, and it should be to everyone, that a mistake was made. He either met an IHOP somewhere else, or he met, I mean, I'm sorry, a Denny's somewhere else, or he met the IHOP. You know, and he's kind of a young kid. I don't know how often he goes to meetings at 1 o'clock in the morning with the mayor or council member, but, you know, it could be easy to make that mistake. I mean, the guy is obviously very nervous. He's being retaliated against. There's all kinds of dynamics around why And it could be just that the person who wrote the declaration misspoke on the restaurant. So, I mean, that one, that's an easy fix. It would require an amendment to the declaration, which is not a problem, which can be submitted during the hearing on the 24th. So to me, that's like, you know, it's obviously that's an easy fix. That should not be what we should be concerned about. What we should be concerned about is the fact that you're taking your campaign staffer at 1 o'clock in the morning to meet with someone to get what is essentially a bribe. Because when you take that kind of money, and I personally know of people who have gone to jail for doing just that. If you look at even in Beaumont, there are council members who took bribes from towing companies and developers who went to jail. So it happens a lot. Because it is punishable by jail because it's a felony.
We just got caught for this in Riverside. I just posted the article yesterday or the day before where the sheriff's department and I think a CHP member in a tow company were all in on something. So this isn't some
San Bernardino. If anyone remembers in the second ward before Benito, before Jenkins, there was a guy, Jason Desjardins, who had to resign because it was going to come out that he was, you know, doing some shady shit with his towing company. So the towing companies and their relationship to the council and politicians and the police is sort of problematic because the police call for tow companies to come and get vehicles that they pulled people over or whatever. And so, you know, you want to be on that list. You want to get that business, right? You want to be on that list and get that call. And so they compete with each other on that. And it's not just here in San Bernardino. That is a problem that happens throughout the state. I believe the same thing happened not too long ago, a little over a year ago. The whole sheriff's department was in chaos over towing companies and contracts. And that whole thing ended really badly. A lot of people, sheriffs, had to resign, and some of them, I guess, ended up in bigger trouble. But it's an actual thing. And it is, again, it's problematic because it's very politicized. So
it'd be great if people could just stop being shady as hell. Like, I am so upset. And someone yesterday at a meeting was like, "You're so angry." Well, one, no, a lot of it's passion. But then a part of me is like, who's not angry at all of this stuff? Like, how can you not be angry that these people are potentially putting us into a position again where we will not come out of it because all of the illegal financial activity and the, you know, you have one company filing against the city, believing they're being pushed out on purpose. And then let's say this all comes out true. And not only is the mayor in on it, but everybody that took money, it has an understanding. The police department who works in conjunction with John is some, they've known about it and they haven't been doing the proper inspections like they're supposed to. And then all it does is just amount the how much money we're going to spend defending illegal activity. And that pisses me off. Like, just do it right. Like, why would you not want someone who's willing to put the effort into work? How many cars, like, it must be a lucrative opportunity if you're trying to keep people out.
I mean, it is. Again, all throughout the state, because, like, cars get towed for various different reasons. And, you know, the police, I mean, it's definitely a thing. You know, I just want to say, and because I have heard that, you know, it's so negative and, you know, Treasure's so angry. Yeah, you know what? Like, why the fuck aren't you? Because, you know, like, honestly, you have the right to be pissed off because your tax dollars are supporting the bullshit that is happening to bring the city down because we are currently in a downward spiral of the city. We are not going up, we're going down. And if you are okay with that, then you as a person, as a resident, as someone who lives in San Bernardino and votes or doesn't vote in San Bernardino out there listening, if you're not pissed off, you're the fucking problem. You are the problem, not Treasure, not me, not anybody who speaks out against what's happening. You, because the people who don't speak up and are not pissed off and are complacent as fuck, those are the people that are going to be crying when this city disincorporates or we go into conservatorship from the state and we have these heavy duty loans to pay back that we will never be able to pay back. And this city just goes under. Your property values get lost. You know, I mean, like, you all should be really, really pissed. You should all be upset.
And you know what? I mean, people talk about the renters and we have like 55% rentership, but I hope people understand, if you're listening and you're a renter, all these losses will be directly placed back onto you. You
homeless, like they did to the residents on Date Street. Understand?
Oh, understand. Man.
They give zero fucks.
It's a big... We're all connected in this, but the truth of the matter is, it's poor governance. It's, you know, we fail where everybody else succeeds because people know they can come to San Bernardino and buy our elected officials to do what they want to do in our city, and they can't get away with it anywhere else. That's why we have this wall or this barrier around San Bernardino that just keeps good shit out. And you watch, oh yeah, you want to build some warehouses that we don't even know the lease agreements or how it's going to impact the health of our residents? Sure, come on down. Well, how much money you got? You want to build mixed-use housing without any real development plan and no code? Sure, how much you got? You want to build an apartment complex in a single-family dwelling neighborhood that's existed for 50 years? Sure, come on down. How much you got? Like, that's how we treat our, it's how our elected officials treat San Bernardino. Like, it's a piggy bank for them to just feed off of, get rich, find another elected body, or move out of here. And then the rest of us, the 90%, they're just sitting here, are just like, what do we do? And I, you know, the thing is that San Bernardino is suffering from the largest detriment, which is apathy. Because when you hate something, you will fight to get rid of it. If you hate something enough, you can't stand it. Hate takes a lot. It takes a lot out of you. If you love something, you will fight for it till death. But when you no longer care, when you are apathetic, you give up. And that's what we face in this city. We have the apathetic residents. And that's the 90% hurdle that we, because you got 5% that are fighting for it, 5% that hate it, which is why you see such close races. Kim Calvin, you've got people holding on to what's there and then fighting for change. And same thing in Fred's race was 8 votes. You have, you know, half the people fighting for change with Alex and then holding on to the past with Fred. And I think we're seeing that struggle because either people are waking people. I think people are waking up, but just not in the amount of numbers we wish they would be.
Because apathy is definitely great, you know, and, you know, it just, there's still an election, guys. There are still 2 seats that are undecided. So we have to be on our toes. And that's going to bring me to our next point. Oh, you know, really quick, I wanted to mention, because you were talking about all the crazy stuff that people want to bring in. Because again, and I've asked this like every single podcast that we've done, where the fuck is our general plan? Okay, there, I said it. Now we can move on. Okay.
Wait a minute. Where's the $3 billion for that general plan?
We're going to keep mentioning that.
Have you heard? There is not a peep. There is not a plan. There is not a meeting. There's not a scheduling, nothing. In fact, the council wouldn't even vote to put additional meetings on the calendar this year to do the general plan. And I don't want to hear now we're all facing the coronavirus, because this shit was last December and they voted against it because they didn't want to have to meet more times.
So here's the thing. So you wouldn't be able to put these hodgepodge of projects all over the city if you had a general plan. Then you would know what could be used where. That's the whole point of having a plan. Okay.
But that's why they don't want it. John has stopped, and we had the emails where he has tried to cancel and postpone all this because he doesn't want input from anybody else. And two, if you cannot come in and put wherever you want to the highest bidder, then the city will have to carry on. The point of
He's
a general plan is for all of you.
The fact that the city is so disorganized.
Exactly. No, nobody should ever become elected in a city and turn the city upside down. That's why you have a general plan. It says, okay, some years we're going to get crazy. Some years you're going to get staunch conservative, or you're going to get liberal, you know, but no matter what, we're going to be on target. That's why Riverside has been able to do what they've done over the course of 30 years. Although they're facing hardships now, it's because they made a plan and they put it Fontana, Redland, Highland, Grand Terrace, Rialto. They all put their plans in place. San Bernardino, free for
exactly.
all.
Exactly. And I, you know, as a former resident of Fontana, and I can tell you during the time when the general plan was developed under Mark Noemi, and it was I think a 15-year plan or maybe even 20-year plan. And, you know, I didn't like all of it, but it is what it is. It was a freaking plan and they stuck to it. And, you know, I mean, look what happened. I mean, it's decent. I mean, there's some issues, but, you know, it's still better than what we have here. So, you know, I wish we could just, like, another day we'll talk all about the general plan. But now let's get into, well, the latest. So Judy Reyes is going to be reappointed back onto the board that she left in 2018 when John got elected. So tell us about that, Treasure.
So the agenda came out yesterday, and on there is the mayor's appointment of Judith Baez, former mayor, to the water board, replacing Ricky Van Johnson in his appointment that goes till 2022.
Mm-hmm. Now, it should be noticed that Ricky Van Johnson also supported Basin back in the day.
Right. He was a proponent of her when she came on. But this time around, seeing all the stuff Basin's not doing, he supported Kimberly Calvert, who right now is in the lead for the 6th Ward. And calling around and asking questions, Ricky Van Johnson has not been formally notified by the mayor that there was any intention to have him removed. There was never any issues that were brought to his attention. He's never missed a meeting. And going through the charter of section 603, it states that any water board commissioner can only be removed by a vote of the council. So it's going to take, right now it's either a 5 vote or we think a simple majority. But really what this speaks to is once again John coming after people who he doesn't like. I mean, there's, because Ricky supported him, you're going to remove him from a water board commission when he's a year and a half into his first appointment?
Yeah. And the biggest and the loudest thing about all this is how transparent he is about retaliating. Right? I mean,
Well, you don't even talk to the guy. And then, you know, like I posted it, he's going through the agenda, and there's Judith's application. That's the date stamp 2018. It's not even a current application. It's like, hey, we have this on file. I want this guy gone. Let's do this. But that's John. And what I want
so
people
he just
to understand
went back
is like,
into the pool of just people, of applicants, or people who he had, and he just appointed whoever. Yeah, so I don't
but
know if
the issue
Baez
isn't
knows what
he's
doing.
Wrong.
I'm guessing he contacted her and told her he was doing this. Do we know?
I don't know. I don't know, but if anybody's watching what's happening, look, people say, well, it's his right, it's his this, it's under that. You know what? There are, you know, an officer can pull you over for probable cause. But if they make up that cause, it's not okay. And you can't keep saying you want change and then saying, but that's the way it's always been. So if you know the mayor is currently retaliating against people who came out against him as staff, and if you know that he's coming after people who supported the candidates that he didn't, then why would you?
And the reason that we know for sure that it's the mayor who's doing this and making this change is because it's his discretion and his appointment. It's not the city manager. Mm-hmm. So if someone put this on correct. The agenda, the name of the person is John Valdivies. I still crack up for that. Okay. So there's that. So now, okay, what can we do to thwart him? What can we do to stop this from happening? So we, the public, needs to pay attention. You need to call or text or email your ward council person, and you need to tell them to vote no against retaliation. Because if a person who is sitting on the dais votes yes, they are co-conspirators to the mayor to the mayor's retaliation. You have to say no. A person who is up there who does not say no to this is a co-conspirator and just as guilty as John, because you know what he's doing. It's not absolutely a secret.
And you know what? This reminds me so much. Like, I hear Basine in my head, because her excuse is always, well, this is the way we've been doing it. This is, you know, every other mayor and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know what? When is this council going to step up? Because people say the charter's weak. I really think it's leadership, and we have weak-minded people. But you know what? But here's the thing about the charter. It's weak because the people are too weak to stop letting it be exploited. It is what it is. I think there are definitely ways that we need to correct it and strengthen it. But when you have a council that disregards it completely and doesn't even follow it, then it wouldn't matter if what was in place. Because they're doing what they want, not what it says. And they quote it to, it's kind of like when people like to quote the Bible just for their own self-satisfaction. That's how they quote the charter.
Yeah, and it's, you know, unfortunate. Again, he's taking advantage of the fact that it's a poorly written, crappy charter, and he's just taking advantage of all of that.
No, he's taking advantage of, I don't think it's a disadvantage, I think he's taking advantage of the fact that he bought four council members, and they do whatever the hell he says, and he uses that consistently to his advantage and the disadvantage of the people. Because if they follow the charter, he would have a city manager doing what they need to do, he would have a council creating policy, and he would be out shaking hands, kissing babies, and probably contaminated. So, you know, we're failing because they're failing us. And I just can't blame a 16-page charter for that.
Well, that's definitely a topic to get into for a longer time. But I do think that right now what needs to happen is whatever the charter says or doesn't, whatever anything says or isn't, people who are sitting at the dais, who are taking votes, they need to vote down retaliation. That is something that they can absolutely positively do. All they have to do is say, no, we're going to keep Ricky because you don't get to retaliate, Mayor. Not today. That includes Henry Nickel. That includes Basine, who is currently losing to Kimberly Calvin. And that includes, you know, Juan, who just was reelected.
Juan.
All of them, they need to vote no, because otherwise they're doing the same thing. They're just, but you know, and it will be a good thing because this will expose who they really are. If they vote yes, then you know who your ward representative is if he or she does this. The other thing.
And can we say that this is also a reason, this is precisely why we're pushing for John to step aside, because this is stuff is continuing. If they don't understand this is why he shouldn't even be on the dais, right now during this investigation, because it's bold-faced and it's still happening. We just had another news report from Matt Brown, who sent out an email saying, hey, look, he's telling us to drop, you know, how to change what we're saying, and that we're being retaliated against, our duties are being, and they've got the city manager just hopping along right next to John, helping them out. So I think people are aware of why during this time, while he's at his most vulnerable and he's lashing out, is exactly why he shouldn't be at City Hall or trying to make any decisions.
And that is going to bring me to the next thing, which is, I know you've heard this, I've heard it, we've all heard it. Oh, I'm only one vote, there's nothing I can do. Okay, so that is a complete fallacy. Do not ever let your council person, ward representative, tell you that there's nothing they can do because they're all alone. That is a weak cop-out. That is your council member telling you, I don't want to do anything because I have no political will to be helpful or to do anything to the city. Anybody who says that needs to not be elected. They just need to just go. If you really think that your voice of 10,000 constituents is null, then what the fuck are you there for? You actually have the power of constituents behind you. What you can do is try to persuade your colleagues on the dais to do the right thing. Shame them if you must. But don't say, I can't do anything. You can say, no, I'm not agreeing to this, and here's why. You all should also say no. You can create arguments. You can, you know, keep trying to push for policy changes. You can institute a municipal code amendment. You can ask for things to be put on the ballot so that the charter is corrected in different areas. There are a million things that one person can do to make change in San Bernardino. So don't tell me it's just me and I don't have the votes. Fine. If you don't have the votes, then that's fine too. At least you made an effort, and at least we can see who didn't back you. Because that's what we need to see.
Amen. And you know what? I love this because yesterday, and I referenced yesterday because I gave a presentation and someone told me this, you're so hostile and you don't offer solutions. And my first...
That's just the people not paying true. Attention or not wanting to.
But to me, what it speaks to is you're hostile for calling things out, but yet you're not hostile for causing them. That's how we look at it. And then two, we hold city residents far more accountable to solve our problems than we do the people we elect to solve our problems. And that drives me crazy. Because look, I can tell, and we have, all the council members, hey, we think you should do this. Hey, we think you should do that. And they don't listen. Can we be honest? They don't listen, or they don't care, or they pass it off.
It's too much work. And it's too then, much work. I don't know. You know, all of it.
Can you do it for me? Could you write it for me? Could you? Well, so-and-so. Look, I wish people understood how much work we actually do just behind the scenes. Like, this is the stuff you guys see publicly on Facebook, but there's so much more conversation that we do, not for the credit, because it doesn't matter to us whether or not we receive the credit for it. It's just like, hey, this is something that's going to help San Bernardino. We both have a strong background in municipal policy and government. Let's try and help you in a way, and you tweak it the way you want. But you guys understand that the council is not about fixing San Bernardino. They are about their own agendas, their own personalities. I'm in the majority. I'm in the minority. I'm not going to work with this person.
I don't have the votes.
And four people on the down.
Okay, but you also don't have the political will because you're not presenting anything. How do I know you don't have the votes? Maybe if you present something
and they're
worth
not calling each other out,
people will say, okay, that's not such a bad idea.
Or if you just hold someone else accountable next to you, like, hey, real funny that you want to go give raises to the POA and the police management people. I just looked at your 460 last week and you've received a contribution and endorsement. Does your vote have anything to do with this? And ask in front, like, the same things we do. That's exactly what the council should be doing, and challenging each other to be honest and transparent in their own votes and say, really, how is this Mrs. So-and-so going to benefit not only your ward, but my ward when we've got cuts here? Like, that's what, like, that's democracy 101. That's where you go back and forth when you're on the academic decathlon and debate team,
exactly.
And you have to do your homework.
Exactly.
That excuse doesn't apply
with me. It's just not a difficult thing. It's not a difficult thing to say. I'm holding in my hand a policy request so that the municipal code could be amended to say that we actually will have a code of conduct. And part of that conduct will be that you will not sexually harass people. And if you do, you will resign or you will be, you know, put on leave. Well, you know, you can do, the council can do that. Okay. Now, the other thing is, I put my money where my mouth is. I don't just tell people, hey, here's what you should do. I actually have offered several of these people on the council my time and dime. I said, yes, I will write the resolution for you. I will help you write the policy. I've offered to help because I know how to do it. So I don't want to hear people be like, what are you doing to help? Motherfucker, I have offered to help write shit. But these people don't have the will to
and
bring
they
do, it
they
forward. You can't, you got to put it on the agenda. You know, you can't just sit there and do nothing.
That's right.
And bring nothing. That's not your role. The council in San Bernardino, they sit up there, they wait for, you know, the city manager to give them instruction, and that's part of it. But you're also the legislative body of the city. That means you get to write the fucking laws. Right? So
hey, John does it. And they all sign off on it. So I don't know why they don't. It's, you know what? But that's also why I'm gonna take you back to a year ago. This is why qualifications matter. This is why you can't tell me that a business person or some secretary is going to be the best person in the world for a municipal government, because they don't know what they're doing. Like someone said, well, if this was the private sector, but it's not.
It's not. Exactly. What you have to do is you have to get the votes of your colleagues to do the right thing. And a lot of these people don't want to do the right thing, but that's fine. What you're doing then is you're calling them out on their bullshit, because the right thing is this here policy proposition that I have. And if you fuckers don't want to vote for this, then we're going to know who you are and where you stand. And that is how you shame people into doing the right thing, because they're not there to speak for themselves. They are there to speak for you, whoever voted for them.
By the way, I just want to point out that yesterday someone said, like, because I know you're actually one of the six delegates elected for the 42nd, correct? Sorry, 40th. And one of the things that the people said is like, hey, you know, I don't always agree with Leticia, but she speaks up and she speaks out. And that's the thing. It's like, yeah, okay, not everybody likes the message or how it's delivered, but the point is you give it. And what you're saying and right now, and I know women get called, you know, bossy and aggressive when men are considered leaders and challengers. So you know what? Save all the adjectives and just say, look, this is someone who cares. And you know what? Well, your passion comes forward. And I know people don't always like the cussing, but the truth is like, look, if
and
you're
also,
not doing anything,
fucks if people don't
if
like
you're
the
just
cussing, but go ahead.
There, well, no, but you know what? That's the other thing. That's the truth. Someone told me you're not, what you're saying and what you're doing is not popular. I'm not here. You're not here. And I don't think anybody on that dais should be here for the hope of being popular. Yeah. You're not going to get a crown and a saber. This is about doing what's right. And a lot of the times what we found in our history through bringing forth changes is that change is not popular. Doing the right thing is not popular. Only until it affects you do most people ever try to do something that's so drastically right. They go on with the status quo. So, and that's why you see hurt feelings. You see council members whine, oh, the public so-and-so hates me. It's like, no, you don't, we don't, you don't have our respect because you don't respect yourself enough to do the right thing for
us. I don't know why.
And
obviously everyone's driven for their own reasons and everyone has their own self motivator and whatever, and I respect that. You know, you, everyone doesn't have to be like me, everyone doesn't have to be like you, everyone doesn't have to be like, you know, everyone is their own person and they do things how they do things. I get that, but here's the thing, I obviously am not trying to make friends. I don't literally, I do not need more new friends. What I need is to live in a city that is somewhat functional at minimum, dude, at freaking minimum. Yes. And I get that you guys don't want me to cuss, but that's just who I am. That's who I am. And that's how I do it. And I'm sorry if you're offended. Actually, I'm not sorry. I just like, be an adult, get over it. It's language. But I'm going to keep on doing it because I can. and because
can it you have more civil happen. Discourse?
Someone needs to say the truth. And there are people who feel exactly as I feel, but would never be able to say the things I say. And I get people tell me all the time, oh my God, like, you're just like, I love what you're saying. You're so honest and you're so, you know, you're putting it out there. And thank you for that. But I'm doing it because it needs to be, we need transparency. And I'm not doing it for a popularity contest. And by the way, how and when do we get to a place when you're judging the people who are exposing corruption and the truth, and you're putting more judgment on us than the motherfuckers who are robbing you blind?
That's the deflecting. Well, I mean, look, that's what, but this is what the system has created for us. We fight more amongst ourselves than we do against the tyranny. And systematic, it's all over the United States. I mean, it's like, no, don't look over there. It's them. Well, who's them? The guy that disagrees with you. Oh shit. Like that's how we do. And in San Bernardino, I watch it happen on, look, ideology is one thing. No one agrees 100% of the time. But the problem is when you don't, now you hate people. Now you're against somebody. It's like, look, dude. So you throw the baby out with the bathwater because in the one instance I didn't agree with you on what you were doing, or I refused to support you when you did something wrong, that's the problem with San Bernardino. And the residents like the discourse. The residents fight with each other instead of saying, hey, you know what? I really like this lady. She's doing good for us. But you know what? In this instance, you're not delivering. And I want to support you, but I, you know what? You got to do more. Or you know what? It's not enough for you just to sit there and whine that you're not in the majority right now when you're sitting there in silence, not even representing the minority.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And here's the thing, guys. Even Treasurer and I have things that we don't agree on. But, I mean, it's just different perspectives. It's like that with everyone. Like, there's a lot of things, a lot of dynamics that go into developing an opinion about something. At least if you're critical analysts, and I believe that Treasurer and I are both critical analyzers. And so even when you have that, you still can come up with two different answers. And that's okay. It's totally okay. I respect Treasurer. She respects me. You know, we have a conversation about it. We agree to disagree. And that's it. We move on. It's like, that's what adults do, you know? So I, you know, we're going to keep on doing this. So just, you know, just so you guys know, we're not going to be stopped. We're going to keep on doing the San Bernardino Corruption Busters. Really quickly before, because I know we're getting like our time here, but I just want to say that one of the people that has been speaking out in favor of John and his bullshit has been this like fake profile on social media named Jill Sanderson. And I'm going to publicly call this person out because I think people need to understand, first of all, the person Jill Sanderson does not exist in the entire county of San Bernardino. I've looked for it. I have access to the voter file and, you know, I could not find such a person. Now, that said, this person posted a picture of their alleged ballot. That ballot was, even though it had the address marked out, I was able to enhance the photo and see through the marker and find that the address to be the same address as Wendy McCamick's tax and printing service. Now, I'm not going to say with 1,000% certainty that Jill Sanderson profile is Wendy McCamick, but do the freaking math, people. It ain't Jill Sanderson. And she's using Wendy's address, and Wendy has been known to, you know, do stuff like that. So, you know, I'm just, and I did ask Wendy about it, and I wasn't, her answer would like totally like trip you out, but I'm not even going to go there and divulge that. I reported what I reported to the authorities. But just so you guys know that there are these trolls online that would have you, you know, think that John's still doing a great job and whatever. She's one of them. Stay away from her. You know, she's, you know, if you can't be who you are and tell the truth. So that's one thing. Treasure and I, we're not coming at you as fake people. We actually are real people who live in the city, who have real social media accounts. And so, you know, give us some credit for that, you know?
Yeah. And you know, and I know people like to get caught up in it. And, it you know, it doesn't behoove anything. Look, any more than we should be telling you how to think and feel, nobody on the other side should be telling you how to think and feel. Just take the information and analyze it for yourself and say, hey, quick question. They're not actually upset about what came out. They're mad about who posted it. That's the biggest thing I want people to understand, because people ask, like, are you upset? No, I don't care. Like, look, like I'm not here for friendships either. And it's social media. There's a lot of people who are very upset and mean on Facebook that we see in person, and they nod and they smile and they, hey, how you doing? So, I mean, it's not, this is not real life on social media with these people. And they hide behind these fake profiles because they're not real people, even in person. They're just fake. These are the fake ass people you avoid in real life. So, you know, I don't want people to get caught up. And I know there's been some posts and people have showed, you know, and on, I think your page, right, on the tracker page, she was asked to verify her identity, couldn't do it. She was blocked. She was blocked on the True San Bernardino, and I believe on I Love San Bernardino as well. The only place that she's so far still on is the Voices page.
I just wanted to put that out and there, because, you know, again, like, we're true voices and we're not making things up. Whatever we give you is because we have proof and verification. So, okay, guys, there's a lot going on. They don't want Treasure to show up at the next meeting. I personally think that whole statement on the website was just for Treasure, because they don't want her to go speak. But they're going to go anyway. And I'm going to try to make it this time too. I've had like issues because, you know, I can't always make it. I'm a perfect example of the resident that wants to be at council meetings, but can't always be, because, you know, I have kids and they're teenagers, and they, you know, one of them works and goes to college, and the other one has like extracurricular meetings in the evening. And I can't always, you know, my evenings are kind of like, I'm an Uber mom kind of thing, you know? So it's been difficult, but I'm really going to try to make it to this next meeting. They really don't want people to speak out, but Ricky Van Johnson is also calling for people to come and defend him in this retaliation. So if you can get out there, get out there and, you know, speak to what they are doing. And I'm ready. I'm done. So unless you have anything more, Treasure, it is great.
No, thank you. This was great. I know it's long, yeah, but you know what? Sometimes we just got to get it out.
We are interested in what you have to say. So if you listen to our podcast and you have questions, or you want us to talk about a certain topic, or you want to come on the show and maybe talk about what you're feeling or thinking, you know, just hit us up and let us know. We will do that. We had a really great guest on the last podcast, and we're, you know, we kind of want to start having guests on, so it's just not me and Treasure all the time. So think about that, San Bernardino. And until then, keep it real.